760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and happy Monday. We are so glad you are here with us to start your morning on this beautiful, cool morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I am Allison DeLuhl, and we have a special guest here with us today, and he is not a stranger to the show.
How are you, Allison and Dave? It's been a while. You know, I've been away about a week, and something's happened to my voice. I don't know what happened exactly.
Let me guess. Were you in Ireland, possibly?
No, actually, I was in Chicago. We've got a lot of Irish people in Chicago. I was in Ireland. Yes. I've got quite a bit to tell you about that as well. But first, let's get into business, shall we?
Absolutely. And I know the business is starting in prayer. So, Vita, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus, thank you so much for allowing me to fill the seat and shoes of Josh to the best of my ability, but especially for your mother today, because this is the Feast of the Blessed Nativity. And so we of course, turn to Mary and ask for her prayers as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Well, let me tell you something.
Tell us.
Tell you about a month ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was listening to EWTN and I heard this interview, and I was actually with a guy who wrote a compendium to the Saint Louis de Montfort book on the Rosary.
Yeah.
And I was just so moved by it that before I went into adoration, as I do Mondays at 3, in the parking lot, I ordered this book, and it was destiny, because and I'll try and make this short, but we go to Galway by way of Kilkenny to Dublin, and Galway's on the left side of the country and Dublin's on the right side. And so we're in Galway, my wife and I are there on a work trip, and we're at this hotel and we're at the front desk, and I see a statue, a bust of Mary, being brought into the lobby.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We're like, okay, I guess we're in Ireland. This is typical stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they move it into a room. We decide to go and use the outdoor pool in the rain, by the way.
Oh.
And we look up, and there she is looking down from one of the rooms. The same Mary.
Wow.
So two Mary sightings.
Wow.
On day one.
Wow.
So we end up spending time there. We meet her group, and we go to a different middle part of the country near Limerick. And on our way from that to Dublin on a bus ride through Kilkenny, we have lunch in this little medieval town. And we're sitting with quite a few on fire Baptist and Pentecostal people in our group. And this young member of the group says, "What's the deal with Mary?"
To you, Vito.
To me. Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we're sitting, and of course we get into it. But there's this one gent by the name of Jimmy. Jimmy's an on fire Pentecostal. He's a former pastor, and he keeps saying to me, "Vito, we're going to go to St. Patrick's, the Cathedral of St. Patrick's, and we're going to talk about Catholic questions. I got some Catholic questions." And so we plan this, and we go to the Cathedral. We go to St. Patrick's in Dublin. And he starts hitting me with, "What's with holy water? What's with candles? What's with this?" And but he would get on the whole transubstantiation
that
he really wants to know. He goes, "I respect it, but I don't believe it." And it was a great dialogue. And we went back and forth for a long while. And we end up getting to Dublin. And in the meantime, I end up stumbling into this Carmelite church, a St. Therese Carmelite church in Dublin near our hotel. And I'm like, I'm just going to do a rosary. And this is a Friday. Mm-hmm. So it's the Sorrowful Mysteries.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the front, and I'm in front of an altar of a statue of Jesus just taken off of the cross in the altar.
Oh. Wow.
So I'm able to say the rosary, and then just as I end, the lights come on, they're getting ready for Mass. And so there's, you know, who would have thunk kind of moment. And so I end up going and meeting up with Jimmy later in the evening. And
this is the Pentecostal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we're at a dart bar of all places. You know, that's where we're all gathering.
Yeah.
And I was able to just sort of get into the how it all happened, which led us into a conversation about the rosary and all the mysteries of the rosary.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not, you know, chance. This is like
not at all. No,
right.
No coincidence.
So no coincidence at all. And so he was able basically to hear all about Mary from the beginning, the middle, and end. And I really think this was a Marian sort of, experience that just happened.
How beautiful. And you know what, Vito? You are just always open to sharing. And I think that is what is so beautiful about our faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not being afraid just to talk. And if we don't have the answers, to get the answers and to get back with somebody about it.
Right.
Just be honest.
And
right.
When
you
those
know?
Opportunities come up, be ready.
Right.
To answer.
Yes.
Right.
And be not afraid.
And there were lots of things that happened in between, which we can get into at another time.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic experience.
Awesome.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a chance to hear more about that
for
a little bit here.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Later in the show, Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, is going to begin her Catholic coaching series, and she is going to be talking to us, what is a Catholic life coach? Chuck Persner is going to be talking about St. Joseph of Cupertino. Father Eric Hill, pastor, Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, is going to be diving into today's gospel. And coming up next, Suzanne Guy with Marietta 40 Days for Life will be clearing up conceptions about the Georgia heartbeat law.
Nice.
Thank the you. Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are delighted to have Suzanne Guy back on our Morning Quest. She is with Marietta 40 Days for Life, and she is going to be clearing up some of the misconceptions about the Georgia heartbeat law. So welcome back to The Quest, Suzanne.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Vito and Dave. It's such a privilege to be back with you all. I'm so enjoying the earlier conversation that you guys were having. And Allison, I love what you said to Vito about, how open he was to having a dialogue. And if we all did that, what a different world this would be.
Amen, amen.
And I love the fact that you're in London and I was in Ireland and we could have been nemesis, but we're friends.
That's right. We just missed each other.
That's right.
And Suzanne, you are in London. So, wow, what a blessing it is for you to be chiming in, talking about this important information with us.
Yeah, so let me just give a little bit of background in case people don't know about this. So in February, there was a 30-year-old nurse, Adriana Smith. She was 9 weeks pregnant, and she was declared brain dead after suffering brain blood clots. So under Georgia's heartbeat abortion law, the doctors told her family that they were required to keep her on life support to allow the fetus to develop. Now, in mid-June, the baby was delivered via emergency C-section, weighing 1 pound, 13 ounces, and placed in the NICU. And last we heard, the baby, whose name is Chance, is still in the NICU fighting for his life.
Wow.
So, Suzanne, so what about this heartbeat law, you know, because the doctors told the family, we need to keep her alive. So what can you tell us about that?
Yes, thank you all so much for allowing an opportunity to clear up where there has been a lot of misunderstanding and some things communicated by other media sources that don't line up with truth.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is our Life Act has nothing to do with this nation. I'm going to say that again. Our Life Act has nothing to do with the Adriana Smith case because our Life Act does not mandate a pregnant woman remaining on life support. And there's even more to that. You know, this situation would not have been considered an abortion if she had been removed from life support. Removing a pregnant woman from life support would not constitute an abortion. Abortion is, you know, the intentional targeting and destruction of an innocent human being, that child in the womb. And the thing that is so profoundly concerning and disturbing to me is there are people like Representative Cannon and the media taking this situation where family wanted their precious grandson, Chance, to be given a chance. But this situation is being manipulated to say, well, even we wanted him kept alive, we want other women to have the choice, and it's the fault of the Georgia heartbeat law, that the Life Act, that others wouldn't be allowed to have a choice. But again, our Life Act doesn't even mandate a pregnant woman remaining on support. And what I want to make sure your listeners understand is that we have a 2007 Georgia Advanced Directive for Health Care Act. That connects to this story. That Directive for Health Care Act, Advanced Health Care Act, states that a pregnant woman cannot be removed from life support unless she has an advanced directive stating that she would not want to remain on life support. And my understanding in this journey is they could never find an advanced directive from Adriana. And again, this family wanted Adriana's little boy to be given a chance, named Chance. They wanted him to live. But they are falsely saying that our Life Act was what was used to keep baby alive, when again, our Life Act, nothing in the language of our Life Act would mandate a pregnant woman to remain on life support. But they're saying it was our Life Act so they can, you know, pass on misinformation, get everybody who's pro-abortion all riled up to say, we've got to get rid of the Life Act.
Wow.
This is terrible. Look at how this family was forced to keep their daughter on life support, that they wanted her on life support to keep the child.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable how things can be twisted.
Yeah.
You know?
And not just to get the support of the people that are pro-abortion, but even maybe some of the people that are on the fence.
Yeah.
Try to win them over to their side.
Yeah. Right?
Is what it's all about.
Exactly, Dave. That is so well said. And the way this is being framed, not based on fact, but just based on assumption, is such a crime, because all of a sudden our Life Act is being targeted and not based on any kind of truth whatsoever. It's absolute falsehoods. And as you said, Dave, it's making a lot of people on the fence upset, because they're assuming that these media outlets are sharing the entire truth about our Life Act, when in fact they are misrepresenting it in so many ways. And our Attorney General, Chris Carr, even came out and said, our Life Act is absolutely irrelevant to the Adriana Smith case. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. So as far as we know, I mean, from what I've been told, the doctors were the ones that told the family that they were required to keep her on life support to allow the fetus to develop. But now, doesn't the hospital have like a whole team of lawyers that could look at this law and they would be able to understand it?
Dave, I cannot thank you enough saying that, because that is what I have been inquiring about. Because my understanding is the same thing, that the doctors were under the impression, again, this is my understanding, that the doctors were under the impression that because of the Life Act, they had to keep her on life support to protect her unborn child, which again, the family wanted the child protected. And it's just so important that it is incumbent upon doctors, it's incumbent upon the hospital lawyers, it's incumbent upon the medical field and their to understand and know all of our laws, not just the Life Act, but all of our laws that impact how they practice. And if they had been educated on our Life Act, they would have understood that our Life Act does mandate a pregnant woman remaining on life support, and her situation is not even considered an abortion. Removing a pregnant from life support would not be considered an abortion under our Life Act.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring up such an important point.
Wow. Now, Vito, you were, before the show started, you had an interesting observation.
Refresh my memory.
Well, as far as what today is being the nativity of...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Today's the feast of the nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how fitting for us to be talking about this right now. I mean...
The birth of the baby and everything.
Right, yeah. The birth of the baby. I mean, it's I mean, nothing's coincidental, correct? I mean, here we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that you said that, Vito, because we know the greatest yes to God in all of human history is Mary's yes.
Amen. Amen.
And talk about the ultimate unplanned pregnancy and the greatest gift to all of humanity.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. So exactly. Let us say yes, like Mother Mary said. Suzanne Guy, thank you so much with Mary to 40 Days for Life for sharing these misconceptions and helping us truly understand what the Georgia Heartbeat Law is and what it is not. So thank you so much for spending the morning with us.
In London.
Thank you both. God bless you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Later in the show, Monica Bosco, certified Catholic coach, is going to begin her series, and she is going to be unpacking what is Catholic coaching. Again, Chuck Persner is going to be helping us get acquainted with St. Joseph Cupertino, and Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church, is going to be diving into today's gospel.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:19 on The Quest. I'm Vito, sitting in with Dave and Allison. For Josh.
Father Eric Hill, pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Awesome. As we gather here on the feast and the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, let us pray. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your abiding presence in our lives. Grant us your wisdom and peace through the intercession of the Blessed Mother. May we truly desire to share your love in the world in which we live. We ask this all through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So we have the gospel today is Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I could not imagine what Joseph was going through at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not how normal nuptials go about. They hadn't had relations as of yet. She was already with child. She came to him with a story about the Holy Spirit coming in upon her and that she was going to bear the Messiah. And I think that would be a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think he said, in order to not cause any difficulty, since she had in the idea of the normal course of life, she would have been considered an adulteress, you know, and she would have been stoned. So he said, let me just do the righteous thing. I'll just kind of make this, we'll just deal with this quietly. We won't have any conversations. She can go about her life separately from me and be on her way. And the angel, of course, Jesus, that wasn't part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. So God said, let me send an angel to Joseph and remind him or inform him, maybe a better way to say it, that this was all part of the plan, that he was to be this foster parent for Jesus and to be the husband of Mary and to protect this child and his mother, his wife, and to be that stable force in the home. But again, I think that would have been a very difficult situation to deal with.
I think, Father, if it were me, I'd be wondering, was that a real dream? Was that a real message? Or am I just...
Which one? The one to Mary or the one to him?
Well, either one, really. But I'm thinking, in, as far as Joseph goes, you know, was that just some weird dream I had? Did I have Chinese food before I went to bed or what, you know?
Exactly.
Or was this really a message from God? Mm-hmm. I would have a hard time discerning that.
But I think it confirmed Mary's message,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, it was Mary had this experience. He loved Mary. Mary was a part of his life. And this was the secondary message or dream to Joseph.
It wasn't contradictory.
It was a better word to say probably would be complimentary to what was already shared with Mary. But it doesn't mean the pill wasn't even hard to swallow.
Yeah.
It was difficult for him to say, you know what? Okay, Lord. And even with Mary's, if you go back to Mary's encounter with the angel, that was not an easy thing to deal with either. Mm-hmm. She knew that it was going to cause difficulty. And then ultimately she knew, I think she knew in some way, shape or form, this is not going to be an easy pregnancy or an easy motherhood experience. Mm-hmm. I think for Joseph, he also in some ways realized, well, if God's interceding in our lives in such a powerful way, there's a lot more to this than the average experience of being parent and spouse. You can look at the similar situation where parents sometimes deal with situations of kids that are, you know, sick or have, you know, debilitating disease or ongoing illnesses for the rest of their lives. It's not easy to deal with because that's not the normal course of life, right?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things when parents are pregnant with their child, they always go, oh, please pray for a healthy child. Please pray for a healthy pregnancy and a safe pregnancy for my wife or myself or, and that the child comes out healthy is always the common requested prayer intercession, because otherwise it's going to be even more difficult than it already is to raise and birth a child. And Jesus was definitely a special kid, right?
Oh,
well, yeah, because everything is, it, being a parent is hard enough when your kids are just average, you know, like just like every other kid. And so, you know, you've got the Messiah. Whoa.
In the scripture, Joseph, her husband, you know, did what he did because he's a righteous man. That just speaks volume, because how many people might be like, oh, you know what? Somebody cheated on me, right? Or I want to get back to her. So it just shows his character, St. Joseph. It's absolutely beautiful.
And he was a righteous man on both sides of the dream, right? So before, and also his willingness to accept, you know, as Mary did, that fiat to say, okay, Lord, this is not the normal course of things. This is definitely an abnormal situation, but I'm willing to say yes and accept this call. I don't know. I'm not a parent. So as both of you, you know, as being a parent, that's a difficult vocation, right?
Oh, yes.
It's not ever a vocation that has ended, right? So, I mean, my mom had a stroke and I was driving her around and she was unable to kind of manage things on her own, she still told me how to drive. You know? she was always the mom.
Yes.
And that never ends. I don't care. You know, I was 40 some years old when she, you know, in my 40s when she passed. And, you know, she was always the mom. It's a vocation that lasts a lifetime. And I just think it's a beautiful vocation. I pray for parents all the time. Mm-hmm. I believe that Jesus or that God gave me a very special vocation not to be parent. I would have been the meanest parent ever.
Oh, you would not.
No, I would. I love being a great uncle because you can always send the kids home. You can play with the kids, have fun with the kids, and then they go home. And the college fund and the car and all the expenses go with the parents when they go home.
But Father, I've been one of your, at Prince of Peace, I was a parishioner there, and you were great with the kids. You know, you.
I am, but they all went home.
All right. Okay.
I mean, day in and day out, all the needs and the difficulty and the struggles and they're forever yours. And then they come home with, you know, in the future, they get married perhaps and have kids. And it's a beautiful vocation. It's a vocation that is pretty much forever. Right.
Yeah.
And I look at Joseph and Mary and go, how did they manage all that experience of all that we know that through scripture that Jesus and the Holy Family went through? There's even more beyond that, right? There's always more to the story. There's a lot of things that happen in the life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph that we don't know about. You know, we don't know all the growing up years that Jesus experienced and Joseph and Mary. That's not written in scripture, but I'm sure it was a lot.
Well, just the getting lost in the temple by itself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, as a parent, that would just freak me out. You know, like, whoa, what, you know?
Yeah, I always joke with that. I said, I don't think Jesus sat down on the way home. I think there was a little bit of corrective action. It would have been in my house. I think there was a bit of corrective action taken. But
oh my gosh!
But this gospel, I think it's a very beautiful gospel that Joseph said, you know what? I know this isn't easy, Mary. This is not going to be easy. But let's venture into this experience of being husband and wife and father and mother to this child, and let's go, all with the grace of God, all with the help of God. And that's, I think that's every parent, every couple should say the same thing. We're going down a path that is pretty much an unknown entity. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents had six kids, you know, we had a lot of similarities,
yeah.
But we're also extremely uniquely different. Mm-hmm. Each kid is uniquely a challenge and a gift, mm-hmm. and has to be ministered and loved differently in some ways because they're different.
Yeah.
It's a difficult vocation. And I think but it's a beautiful, I've seen parents who do it so well that it's amazing. And it's a gift that only comes truly from the help of God.
Amen to that. And Father, do you think that would be a good takeaway for all those parents out there or future parents, which you just said?
Keep praying.
Yes.
Rely on the help of God. For sure.
Thank you so much, Father Eric Hill, pastor at Transfiguration Catholic Church in Marietta. We are so grateful for you unpacking this gospel for us today.
All right. Blessings to you all. Thank you.
It is 8:29, and from the Good News Network, what an incredible story of human compassion. A young boy playing near a river in southwest China was swept away by strong currents and became trapped between massive rocks with only his head above the rushing water.
Ooh, scary.
That sounds traumatizing. But here's what makes the story so remarkable. So when strangers, mostly tourists, saw what happened, they didn't just throw a rope and hope for the best. When they didn't work, the strongest among them literally waded into dangerous current and use their bodies to form a human barrier, redirecting the flow of the river itself.
Wow.
Putting their lives on the line. So one rescuer, Xiao Feng, made three determined attempts to free the boy while his own daughter watched from the bank. With storm clouds gathering and water levels rising, time was running out, but he didn't give up. And when he finally succeeded, the boy tumbled safely into the arms of another rescuer waiting below.
Wow.
Oh, so unreal. This story beautifully reminds us that Jesus's words, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And these weren't even friends. They were complete strangers. Yet they risked everything for the child they'd never met. So that's the kind of story that should inspire all of us as we start our week.
And they basically, nobody lost their life.
No.
But they could have.
Absolutely.
Sure. They put their life on the line for this boy.
For sure.
Absolutely. So goodness exists everywhere in every culture. So when we see someone in need, we can choose to become someone's miracle. How can we use our own gifts and strength today to help someone else?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, is going to begin her series, and she's going to be unpacking today what Catholic life coaching is. Chuck Persner is going to be helping us get acquainted with Saint Joseph Cupertino.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBrite.
It's 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. You know, September 8th is National Star Trek Day.
Oh.
A day when fans across the globe and perhaps galaxies far, far away celebrate Star Trek. In honor of the timeless legacy that this show has made on society and pop culture.
Wow.
On September 8th, in the year 1966, a television series pilot known as Star Trek was introduced on American television.
Mm-hmm.
It was aiming for an adult audience. That was the first time a scientific fiction series would explore morality through scientific narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Most movies or television shows would contain science, but would often create conflict of suffering or injustice to solve problems. However, Star Trek was different in that regard. The series would place its actors at the forefront, making scientific arguments while providing peaceful solutions to problems without using violence. And this was indeed, as I understand it anyway, one of the hallmarks of the program.
Uh-huh.
They eschewed violence, instead opting for thought-provoking discourse and solutions that came through peaceful means. So anyway, all of this got me wondering if there was a patron saint of space travel. I knew there had to be. And sure enough, that man is indeed Saint Joseph of Cupertino.
Ah.
Born in the year 1603, Saint Joseph was an Italian Catholic friar and mystic. Born in Naples, in fact. And he is best known for his levitations and his ecstasies. And it is these levitations that no doubt earned him the patronage of space travelers, among other things that I know you're going to get into in a little while. His feast day is celebrated on September 18th. So in some respects, we're jumping the gun a little bit by featuring him today. We would have eventually gotten to him this month anyway. So I guess We'll have to find someone else on the 18th.
Absolutely.
Sure we will.
Sure will.
Yeah. He was a gifted but uneducated child, by all accounts, not a terribly good student.
Mm-hmm.
He was described by his early teachers as being, and I quote, the dullest child in the village.
Oh, wow.
He was absent-minded, awkward, and nervous. A sudden noise, such as the ringing of a church bell, would make him drop whatever he had in his hands.
Uh-huh.
So his parents sought to teach Joseph a trade, figuring we have to find a way for this young man to have a livelihood and make his way through life in light of the fact he wasn't the greatest of students. So he was apprenticed to several tradesmen. His year as a shoemaker's apprentice ended, and he had not learned how to make even the simplest of repairs. He was ultimately dismissed, and in fact, each trade endeavor ended with Joseph being dismissed from his apprenticeship.
Oh.
Again, he was far too easily distracted, not always of a good disposition, bit of a grumpy young boy, and was given to wandering off. But he did become interested in the religious life at a young age, and despite his parents' opposition, he entered the conventual friars, the Franciscan friars, that is, in the year 1620. He was said to be so absorbed in prayer that he would sometimes levitate, float, or fly. That's really what he's most known for. And this was a trait that they noticed immediately upon his entry into the friary. These ecstasies were often so overwhelming that he would even lose consciousness and would sometimes remain in ecstasy for hours.
Mm.
So this is a man of deep and profound prayer. His ability to levitate and his spiritual ecstasies were witnessed by many people and were considered a sign of his holiness.
Yeah.
So there were eyewitnesses to this account. Despite the skepticism of many, Joseph's reputation for holiness did spread, and he became a popular figure among the people. Many did start to come to him for spiritual guidance and healing. He was also able to perform many miracles, including healing the sick, and even brought rain during a drought.
Oh, wow.
In the year 1697, it was Pope Alexander VII who authorized a formal investigation into the miracles attributed to Joseph of Cupertino. And in 1664, the Pope declared him a servant of God, and he was later canonized by Pope Clement X in the year 1671. He's widely recognized as a saint of humility, simplicity, and deep devotion to God, who constantly reminded us that the most important thing in life is to seek closeness with the divine, or to, in fact, paraphrase the gospel from a Sunday or two ago, to always seek the lesser spot at the table as opposed to seeking that seat of high honor. And, you know, with the saints, that's always been, you know, the trademark quality, walking in the footsteps of Jesus and Mary.
You know, absolutely.
That virtue of humility. You may wonder how someone who was seemingly ungifted intellectually would be able to study and pass his tests in seminary, passing courses in philosophy, theology, liturgy, scripture, and many, many more. And perhaps this is due to a traditional prayer that is offered seeking his intercession. And I thought the reason we'd also talk about him a little earlier in September is because the kids are starting to go back to school, particularly the listeners listening on the app in the Northeast.
Yes.
Our students here in the South have been back in school for a while. But Allison, I think you have that prayer at your fingertips. So maybe we'll share it with our listeners today so they can offer it in a time of
Absolutely.
Need.
It goes, O St. Joseph of Cupertino, who by your prayer obtained from God the blessing to be asked at your examination only the questions you knew, grant that we may, like you, succeed in the exams.
I love that prayer.
I do, too. I wish I knew this when I was in school.
Oh, if I offered this prayer when I was a kid, the test in front of me would have asked me to name the starting lineup for the National League All-Star team. That's it. You know, and it's, write it down and get 100. But no, I love that. Only ask the questions that I know the answer to. But, you know, again, it's a good prayer. It's, it's a way to reach out to God and seek his intercession. And I think you've got some of his quotes as well, Allison. He's got some good quotes.
I do. Listen to this one. Pray to God, you are the spirit, and I am only the trumpet. And without your breath, I can give no sound. Again, we need God for everything, right?
Yeah.
Without him, we are...
We're his voice, his trumpet in this lonely world. And the breath reminds you of the gift of the Holy Spirit that runs through all of us.
Yes.
In the measure in which we live it out or pray for it or ask for it, those gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, here's another quote. Clearly, what God wants above all is our will, which we received as a free gift from God in creation and possesses as though our own. When a man trains himself to act in virtue, it is with the help of the grace of God, from whom all good things come, that he does this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the will is what man has as his unique possession. And it's true. We have free will.
Yeah.
We have free will to do what we're supposed to do or to not do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, and virtue and holiness doesn't come easy. In fact, I'm not sure it's even second nature to us, given our concupiscence.
Yes.
So we just need God to help us on that road to holiness. And that's a simple prayer we can make. God, make me a more holy man. Make me a more holy woman. You know.
Yes, yes. St. Joseph of Cupertino is the patron saint of air travelers, pilots, aviators, because of his ability to levitate and fly, as you were saying before, Chuck. He is also the patron saint of astronauts, mental handicaps, test taking, and students. So again, like you said, school has started. It's probably been like a month.
Yeah.
So let's always call on him for our intercession.
All right.
Out there.
Are your children off to a good start at school?
So far, so good.
All right. Grades are good. Basketball. We're not really in basketball season, right? But they play all year round now.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? So basketball tryouts have not started yet. They're going to be in October.
All right.
But there is preseason training. And grades are good so far. And it's just a lot of transitions.
Yeah.
So,
sure. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a tough time for the kids. I know yours are at that age. It's a pivotal time in their lives. And that's why we need to call upon the saints to get us through, especially a patron saint of test takers. My goodness, I wish I knew about this man.
Because every time I think of tests, I'm like, I mean, it was not fun. I was not a good test taker.
Yeah, it's just such a source of anxiety for kids because they're judged by the number on that paper when they get it back.
And, doesn't necessarily mean what they know, right?
No,
you might kind of get nervous and freak out.
Not at all. So we need to call upon them. And, you know, the ability to levitate, it's a very rare gift that God bestows upon a very small handful of saints.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of St. Martin de Porres. He was known to levitate. St. Padre Pio, of course, who was known to do everything.
Yes.
Bilocate, levitate, read souls. We'll get around to him towards the latter stages of September on the 23rd is his feast day. I look forward to that discussion.
Yeah, the kickoff of our show,
and
our one-year anniversary.
Be the one-year anniversary. Isn't it unbelievable?
Unbelievable how time has flown.
Yep. As we said yesterday, time flies like an arrow. Let's see if you remember the punchline.
Grapes.
Close. Fruit flies like a grape.
I love it.
Or you could always, if you want to be creative, you don't want to keep telling the same joke over and over. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana.
That makes a lot more sense.
When you tell dad jokes, you have to kind of, that one should go in the database. We should give that one to Savage.
You need to give that to Dave.
Anyway, well, with all that in mind, a lot going on today. May you live long and prosper. I think that was the tagline for Star Trek. But more importantly, St. Joseph of Cupertino.
Pray for us.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
And sometimes Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Slips in here. We've got Vito Fornis filling in for Josh today. Josh is back tomorrow.
He's coming back tomorrow, so he should be flying home now.
Absolutely. And usually at this time on Mondays, it's
Monday memes.
Monday memes. You got that right. You know, you wouldn't believe the number of turns I miss because my GPS thinks I know what 600 feet looks like. You ever do that where it says turn right and it's like, wait, do I turn here? No. I'm doing that all the time.
I've got to stare at the picture, but I am paying attention to the road, but I've got to stare to kind of see, is it here? No, a little bit further. So it can get confusing.
Recalculating.
Yeah, then you know you missed it, right?
Oh, here's a $1 million idea. A smoke detector that shuts off when you yell, I'm just cooking.
That would be perfect.
Yeah. How about this one? I know, Allison, you like the inspirational ones.
I always do. Mm-hmm. I always do.
Quote from St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Oh.
Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love.
And I love hearing that because it's so easy to think we've got to do big, huge things. No. A smile, just kindness, being kind to one another, doing things to serve others.
And I know I've done that one before on Monday Memes, but I think it's worth
it. I think that is one that could be said every single day.
Absolutely. Now, if someone from the 1950s suddenly appeared today, what would be the most difficult thing to explain to them about life today? The answer? I possess a device in my pocket that is capable of accessing the entirety of information known to man, and I use it to look at pictures of cats and to get into arguments with strangers.
Josh and his cats, when he listens in, he's always looking at cats.
Can you imagine being rich enough that you don't have to watch YouTube videos every time something breaks in your house?
Oh, man.
And we'll close with this one. Chuck, thank you for sending this one to Allison. It's a quote from St. Peter Damian. We should be filled with joy at the birth of Mary. Her womb was a most holy temple. There, God received his human nature and thus entered visibly into the world of men.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Perfect for the day today.
Absolutely. Amen.
coming up on The Morning Quest.
Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach, is going to begin her series with us, and she is going to be unpacking what is Catholic coaching and what it can do for you.
I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Coming up at 5 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest, join me for Ave Maria in the afternoon. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47, and I am delighted to have Monica Bosco here with us. She is a certified Catholic life coach and also a parishioner at Christ the King in Atlanta. Great parish. And she is going to be talking about Catholic life coaching, and she's going to talking to us about what it can do for us. So this is exciting. So Monica, tell us a little bit about your background as a Catholic life coach.
Sure. So I am a certified Catholic life coach, certified and trained at Metanoia Catholic, which is out of Ave Maria, Florida. And I help Catholic women who are tired of putting their dreams on hold and ready to go for something they want to achieve. And that being said, I don't want the guys to tune out here because this is for them, too. Mm-hmm. I just happen to coach women. So it can be something personally, professionally, or it can be general coaching on whatever topic they want to talk about for that time. I work in a method that combines our Catholic principles, teachings, and values with a coaching technique called the reason cycle, where we take it through God's process of reason, which is understanding what's going on, being self-aware, judging the direction of what's happening in our lives, what it's leading to, and then using reason to decide what direction or what choice do we want to make for ourselves.
Wow, that is a beautiful process.
It is.
So what are the main reasons women reach out to you, Monica?
So the woman that would come to me for coaching would want help achieving a goal. It could be something like finding their mission or purpose, whether that is faith-centered, you know, where does God want me to serve? Or practically, like a career change or maybe a business they want to start. It could be something like navigating a new chapter or next stage in their life, like, say, an empty nester who all of a sudden doesn't have children under their roof and they're kind of wondering, okay, what do I do next?
Yeah.
Or maybe the person that wants to start something new that they've never done before. And a big one is helping people navigate difficult decisions and choices they want or maybe need to make for their lives, because decision making, it's a big area where people can feel overwhelmed and spin in confusion.
Well, and it's nice to have somebody there that you can talk to. I mean, a lot of people talk to family members and friends, but having somebody outside of those that you know, I'm sure is super duper helpful. And for those that are not aware, what is coaching, Monica?
So the primary purpose for any life coach is to help their clients discover and freely choose their greatest good. So what does that mean? So my job as a coach is not about giving someone a list of things to do or a checklist to complete so they can accomplish their goal. My job as a coach is to help you, guide you, and teach you how to stretch your thinking, what you think is possible for your life, and what you can achieve in a very practical, everyday way now and in the future. And saying that, I have to say that, you know, God's grace, the Holy Spirit, is really the change agent here. And I'm just here as a coach to be a conduit of that grace.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And, you know, and talking about life coaching, what are the differences between coaching, therapy, and spiritual direction? Because I know that those are all out there.
So coaching is, again, not my job to give you advice, but to help guide you and teach you how to stretch your thinking and what you can achieve. Therapy is very different. That is for a person that may want or need therapy, maybe having difficulty with something that's happened in the past. It might be an event, a series of events that may have occurred in their life. It could be a dysfunctional family patterns or a traumatic event. It creates basically a persistent sadness or maybe even an anger that they can't get past. And when that happens, if it's not worked through, it keeps a person from operating at a good, healthy base mental level.
Yeah.
They end up living more in the past than in the present.
Wow. And who wants to do that, right? And I think that's so easy to get in that rut too.
It is.
You know, which is not good.
So common for us too. We rarely live in the present. We're always, you know, thinking about the past or
yes.
whatever. We don't live for right now.
Or worried about the future.
I know, absolutely.
That's right.
No, it's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So why a Catholic coach and not a secular coach?
So a Catholic coach, there's a few reasons. One, your growth, you know, you're going to get some results when you get a regular coach, but they're always going to be limited and they may even lead you astray. So growth, you know, you're only going to get growth that goes so far. You're not going to get to the root of what's causing the issue, and it won't address any healing that may need to happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not going to be as lasting. It may work for a while, but again, even if you don't get to the truth of the issue, what's really going on behind your thinking, what it's leading to, you're just putting a temporary Band-Aid on it. You know, these weeds that we have, these bad thoughts, they need to be plucked from our minds, and they don't get yanked out all at once. You know, it's like an onion.
Oh, yes.
It peels off like a layer. That's how God heals us. So until we're ready for the next layer to be revealed, for the next level of thinking, you know, if you try and do that all at once secularly, it's just not going to work. The other thing, and this one is big, is that with secular, what I've noticed is we get into self-reliance, where we start thinking a lot of I's. I can do it. I did it. I can do anything. I can create limitless possibilities for myself. You know, I can manifest anything. And what happens is the ego starts to inflate. And that's very different than having self-confidence, you know, accepting the gifts and talents that God's given us. What I'm talking about is when we start to think that we don't need God in our lives, we don't need prayer, we don't need to seek good counsel, we don't need to examine our conscience, and you can see where this starts to go. We start to think we can do it on our own.
Oh my gosh, and that is dangerous.
Yeah. It is.
I can't tell you, though, how many times I've done that. You know, it's like, oh, look what I've accomplished, and what I should be saying, look what God accomplished through me.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, giving you the grace to even know what to do.
Exactly.
You know? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is absolutely amazing. And again, there are so many lies out there.
Yeah, so that's another one, Allison, is that it doesn't remove the lies that we were meant to believe. So when I talk to my clients and begin to ask them questions about what they're thinking, a lot of beliefs come up, beliefs about themselves, their identity, how they see themselves, how they see others. And sometimes and often it can come from something someone said, something that they came to believe based on a past experience. It could be as a child or as an adult, and they carried this thought, this belief around. It becomes their identity. And, you know, the enemy wants to twist and distort who God says we are. And it's not always in a big way. He starts with the little things, and these little things build upon themselves, and they create a lie that we start to carry around during our lives. It's basically a wound. And your thoughts start to operate from that wound. So this is actually one of my favorite things to do, is to help my clients uncover a lie that they were never meant to believe, to bring it to the light, and then we take it to God.
No, that is so, so beautiful. And I, you know, I heard you were talking, Monica, wounds that have happened in our childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people have had, I think all of us maybe here or there, have had something happen, and are we carrying that along with us? You know, and are we sharing this with our children?
Absolutely,
know?
Because we hear things as children and we don't have the reason to fully understand them. So we interpret their meaning and we take it as truth
when
it might not be.
Oh my gosh. So I know that there are some, you know, life coaches out there that tinker with New Age stuff. And I know that is definitely not.
Yeah, we stay out of all of that. Everything we do in Catholic coaching is wrapped in prayer and aligned in our Catholic principles. Because what I've seen, you know, the New Age stuff that's out there, like the chakras, the numerology, the energy healing like Reiki, we don't do any of that. We don't want to open a door that we're going to then need a priest later to close.
No, praise God
great
for
point.
That.
Great
praise
point.
God for that. Oh my gosh. And sadly, there's so much of that out there.
It is.
I mean,
it's commonplace.
Yes. Going into Five Below, I went into Five Below, my gosh, it might have been a few months ago, and there was stuff in there with this, you know, the different energy healing and stuff. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus Christ, saint be gone. It's like out there.
It's everywhere. Go to, you know, a retail store to buy clothing. There might be books, and there's books there on tarot or whatever it is. It's absolutely everywhere. So we as Catholics really have to have our eyes open and be cautious and be aware of what's around us.
Amen. So Monica, if somebody, I know many people are listening, including myself, you know, they're asking themselves, could coaching work for me? What would you say to them?
Absolutely. If you are willing to come with a student mindset, being curious, being willing to learn, being open to think that maybe what you've been thinking and what you've been doing, that there could be another way, then yes, absolutely, it could work for you.
And again, they might be thinking, oh, I don't want to share these things with somebody. What would you say to that person that's maybe embarrassed to share maybe thoughts that they have of themselves or things that have happened?
You know, I think we all experience that. And having somebody that you can rely and trust in that situation, this is a sacred space. I get, this is my honor to be able to walk people through this. So It's a real privilege to be able to do it. And having that safety of having somebody else that you can go and trust, it's not getting blasted to the world. You're sharing it with one other person, can really be super helpful.
Amen. So if people want to get more information about you and your work with your Catholic coaching, where can they go?
They can go to my website, monicabosco.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Monica Bosco, certified Catholic life coach and parishioner at Christ the King, for sharing this beautiful information with us. And we are going to have you back on, not next week because it's pledge drive, but the next Monday, we're going to unpacking something else regarding That's Catholic right. coaching.
And thank you to Vito Gornis sitting in for Josh today.
Thank you for having me. I can't quite fill his shoes, but I'll do my best.
I love it. Well, let's end in prayer. Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end.
Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.